You're listening to Joe McGee.
And so and people say, what happened? Well, you know, you got to watch about kids. It takes time for gifts and talents and callings to develop. Well, I don't want to know anything about that. Well, sure you do. You want to know a little bit about everything. You want to learn something.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh-and-learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
Hello, this is Joe McGee, and welcome to Faith for Families. We're talking about communication skills. Teach your kids how to communicate so they don't get left out in the crowd, get left behind in life. It's one of the most important things we'll ever teach our kids. The Bible says, the righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no man pursues. You ever had somebody pass you up at work, had less integrity than you, had less work ethic than you, but they could talk and you couldn't? People who speak up get places other people don't. We're taking this from one of the seminars that we did called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without, talking about you need to leave home with a strong sense of self-worth, because if you don't like you, nobody else is going to like you. It's got to start with you. Number 2, you need a vision. What are you doing here? Why on the earth were you born? Is it just because your daddy got a twinkle in his eye and your mom wanted one more baby? I mean, why are you here? You're here by divine appointment. God saw you coming long before you ever had a mom or dad. Number 3, you got to have a love of math. You got to know how to plan. God's a planner, planned everything out, planned out creation before he ever spoke it into existence. And so humans need to plan. If we're made in the image of God, God plans, we plan, we're planning. As a matter of fact, God says when we make our plans, he'll order our steps. God cannot order the steps of someone who has no plans. You got to have a plan. Number 4, we talked about organizational skills. You got to get organized or you won't grow. God will not give me more of what I'm not stewarding. Number 5, we talked about you got to be teachable. You got to have a love of learning. The meek will inherit the earth. Who's going to inherit all the earth? The meek. The weak? No, the meek. The teachable ones. People willing to learn new things get more stuff. It's just the law of the kingdom. Today we're going to talk about communication skills, because that last thing, see, I need to be teachable. I might be sitting next to the smartest men in the world, but they may not be volunteering any information, which means I'm going to have to know how to draw it out of them, which means I'm going to have to know how to talk. I'm going to have to learn how to speak up. And I know some kids are shy and shyer than others. I was incredibly shy when I was young. People laugh. I said, you know, when I was small, 2 things terrified me. Speaking in front of people, that's why I took F's on most every oral book report. I did not get up in front of people. I wouldn't even go to an ice cream store with money in my hand as long as there were customers in there. I just did not want to be around people. My goal in life was to be a forest ranger like my uncle. I wanted to live on a mountaintop out in the middle of nowhere in a log cabin, drive a green Jeep, wear a Smokey Bear hat, and run all the tourists out. Just live up there all by my lonesome self. You know, it was just a goofy thinking. The other thing was I was terrified of airplanes. Now, I'd swim in rock quarries. We had an abandoned rock quarry just close to our homes. We'd go swimming, and then, you know, they'd try to keep us out because it was dangerous and it was deep, but we loved it. We'd catch snakes, swing from trees, do all kinds of stuff, but airplane fly 30,000 feet over our farm, I'd break for the barn. For some reason, I just didn't like them. Now, even in the Cub Scouts, I remember my den mother pulled up in front of Mrs. Sheets was her name. Me and 8 other little Cub Scouts pulled up in front of the airport in my hometown one day on a field trip. Well, I didn't know where we were going. And guys were just talking in the back of the station wagon. I knew what it was. And I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to walk through an airplane today. And one of the planes are going to let us go in one door, walk through, walk out the other, give our little wings to us, you know. I said, I'm not going. She said, yes, you are. It's a field trip. I said, no, ma'am, I don't want to go. She said, sonny, it's not going to take off. It's not even going to turn on the engines. We're just going to walk through it. I said, I don't care. I'm not getting near it. And she drugged me through the terminal, through Hangar 1 and Hangar 2. I glued myself to an I-beam, and she slid me by, screamed my head off. I remember one of the maintenance guys trying to peel my fingers off that I-beam, and I would not let go because I'm not going near that airplane. Here's the funny thing. People who knew me as a child knew those 2 things I did not like. But here I am today, and all I do today is talk to people and fly on airplanes. It's all I do. I do it full time. We do about 70 seminars a year. You'll cover about 28 states, speak to about 80,000 people every year. I'm constantly meeting people I don't know, getting on every kind of airplane you can imagine. I've got frequent flyer cards with every major airline. It's just constant. I'm on at least 4 planes every week, sometimes 8. And so people say, what happened? Well, you know, you got to watch about kids. It takes time for gifts and talents and callings to develop. They were in there at the moment of conception. But one thing I have learned going through life, the longer you go without speaking up, the more you're going to do without, because you've got to speak up. You have not because you ask not. And communication skills is something you learn. Every book on etiquette has a chapter on how to speak, how to introduce yourself, how to be introduced to someone else, what titles you use, who goes first. Do I introduce men to women, women to men, older to the younger, younger to the older? What title do I use when I'm meeting a congressman, a senator, a mayor? You know, we've met our mayor several times in our state, in my city, I'm so glad I knew what to do. When you sit down at a table, which fork do you pick up? There's 3 forks laying there. I mean, what are they afraid I'm going to drop 2 of them? You know, what do you do with it? And so there's skills you have to learn in communicating in all kinds of levels and ways. Or how are you going to be a witness? How are we going to witness to somebody if we can't relate to them? So we're going to learn some things here today. The biggest thing about communication skills, you've got some wonderful organizations like Toastmasters that teach businessmen how to speak up. But here's the challenge that Christians need to understand. You can learn technically better use of language, increase your vocabulary, which certainly never hurts, learn how to use words and how to talk to people. But if you don't learn about the human heart, all that technical information won't help you at all. Because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Communication is a heart issue. Now listen to this. Listen to these scriptures, because many times we skip over the core issue, which is the heart in communication. Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says this, "For the mouth speaks that which fills the heart." The mouth simply speaks that which fills the heart. "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things into his life, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will birth evil things in his life." My life is a direct reflection of what's in my heart. You know, which goes back to prosperity. We talked about, you know, several lessons ago that prosperity and poverty are conditions of the soul, not of the pocketbook. It's what in our heart, it's what's in my heart that determines my life. That's 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper, be in health as your soul in my heart prospers." Joshua 1:8, "Joshua, if you'll meditate in my word day and night, continually say what I tell you to say, then you will prosper and have good success." Psalms 1:1-3 says the same thing. "If I fear God and I delight in his commandments, I meditate on them, my soul. If I delight, think about them, read them, meditate, murmur, say them, memorize them. If I delight in his commandments, I'll be like a tree that's planted by a river of water, whose leaf never withers, doesn't get rid of its fruit before the season, and everything it does, everything I do will prosper." So my soul's in critical. So the heart, that's why the heart, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, my mouth is just reflecting what's in my heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're going to work on your communication skills, you're going to have to first work on what's in your heart. You got to change what's on the inside. And only Jesus can do that. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom." That's where it starts. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's putting God's word in my heart so I think like God, feel like God, talk like God, problem solve like God, because it is God in me doing it. It's his word working in me. Philippians 4, verse 8. Watch this, talking about what you think about, because that's what you're going to say. What people are worried about is what they talk about. What they're excited about is what they talk about. What they're interested in is what they talk about. You get anybody in a 5-minute conversation, you can mark them. What's important to them? 5 minutes from now, you're going to know, because what's in them in abundance will come out of their mouth. What they're excited about, what they're afraid of, what they're going to do, what they're afraid of doing, they will eventually talk about, because that's what's in their heart in abundance. It says this in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right or pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You know, the Bible gives us instruction. We're to control our thought life. I'm to control my thought life. Look at this, Proverbs 4, verse 23. "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." My heart is my life. That's why I'm to Romans 12, verse 2, "Renew my mind with the word of God every day. I'm to be involved with the people of God. You know, the book of Acts says the church, the body of Christ, grows four ways. Prayer, praying to God, asking for help. Doctrine, studying His Word. Fellowship and breaking bread. You know, it's just a spiritual to go eat lunch with a fellow believer as it is to pray and study with them. Just a spiritual. That's how we grow. We grow because of what's in us right here. Now, here's this, how are we going to do this? Here's the practical way of teaching your kids communication skills. They've got to learn there are other people on this planet besides them, and everybody thinks different than them. Not everybody thinks like you. It says down here, I like acquiring social skills. Number one, learning. Now, we've covered this. Kids need a love of learning. Well, I don't want to know anything about that. Well, sure you do. You want to know a little bit about everything. You want to learn something.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes three audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, two cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All three of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
Every book on etiquette has a chapter on how to speak, how to introduce yourself, how to be introduced to someone else, what titles you use, who goes first. Do I introduce men to women, women to men, older to the younger, younger to the older? What title do I use when I'm meeting a congressman, a senator, a mayor? You know, we've had met our mayor several times in our state, and I'm sorry, in my city, I'm so glad I knew what to do. When you sit down at a table, which fork do you pick up? There's three forks laying there. I mean, what are they afraid I'm going to drop two of them? You know, what do you do with it? And so there's skills you have to learn in communicating in all kinds of levels and ways. Or how are you going to be a witness? How are we going to witness to somebody if we can't relate to them? So we're going to learn some things here today. The biggest thing about communication skills, you've got some wonderful organizations like Toastmasters that teach businessmen how to speak up. But here's the challenge that Christians need to understand. You can learn technically better use of language, increase your vocabulary, which certainly never hurts, learn how to use words and how to talk to people. But if you don't learn about the human heart, all that technical information won't help you at all. Because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Communication is a heart issue. Now listen to this. Listen to these scriptures, because many times we skip over the core issue, which is the heart in communication. Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says this, "For the mouth speaks that which fills the heart." The mouth simply speaks that which fills the heart. "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things into his life, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will birth evil things in his life." My life is a direct reflection of what's in my heart. You know, which goes back to prosperity. We talked about, you know, several lessons ago that prosperity and poverty are conditions of the soul, not of the pocketbook. It's what in our heart, it's what's in my heart that determines my life. That's 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper, be in health as your soul in my heart prospers." Joshua 1:8, "Joshua, if you'll meditate in my word day and night, continually say what I tell you to say, then you will prosper and have good success." Psalms 1:1-3 says the same thing. "If I fear God and I delight in His commandments, I meditate on them, my soul. If I delight, think about them, read them, meditate, murmur, say them, memorize them. If I delight in His commandments, I'll be like a tree that's planted by a river of water, whose leaf never withers, doesn't get rid of its fruit before the season, and everything it does, everything I do will prosper." So my soul is critical. So the heart, that's why the heart, you know, my mouth is just reflecting what's in my heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're going to work on your communication skills, you're going to have to first work on what's in your heart. You got to change what's on the inside. And only Jesus can do that. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom. That's where it starts. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's putting God's word in my heart so I think like God, feel like God, talk like God, problem solve like God, because it is God in me doing it. It's his word working in me. Philippians 4, verse 8. Watch this, talking about what you think about, because that's what you're going to say. What people are worried about is what they talk about. What they're excited about is what they talk about. What they're interested in is what they talk about. You get anybody in a five-minute conversation, you can mark them. What's important to them? 5 minutes from now, you're going to know, because what's in them in abundance will come out of their mouth. What they're excited about, what they're afraid of, what they're going to do, what they're afraid of doing, they will eventually talk about, because that's what's in their heart in abundance. It says this in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right or pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, the Bible gives us instruction. We're to control our thought life. I'm to control my thought life. Look at this, Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My heart is my life. That's why I'm to Romans 12, verse 2, renew my mind with the word of God every day. I'm to be involved with the people of God. You know, the book of Acts says the church, the body of Christ, grows four ways. Prayer, praying to God, asking for help. Doctrine, studying his word. Fellowship and breaking bread. You know, it's just a spiritual to go eat lunch with a fellow believer as it is to pray and study with them. Just a spiritual. That's how we grow. We grow because of what's in us right here. Now, here's this. How are we going to do this? Here's the practical way of teaching your kids communication skills. They've got to learn there are other people on this planet besides them, and everybody thinks different than them. Not everybody thinks like you. It says down here, I like acquiring social skills. Number one, learning. And we've covered this. Kids need a love of learning. Well, I don't want to know anything about that. Well, sure you do. You want to know a little bit about everything. You want to learn something. First way you want to do this is books. Books are critical for children. I love all the reading programs that the libraries have going on around the country. God wanted us to read and write. You know, donkeys can't read and write. Cows can't read and write. Even your dog can't read or write. Your cat can't read or write. Giraffes don't read or write. Hippopotamuses don't read or write. Humans read or write because God intended us to do that. We're the only creature with that skill. God fully intended for us to read and to write things down, to meditate on things, because he knew how we worked. He built us. He knew that our brains leaked out at night on our pillow. We had to shove it back in the next day. Read, reread, study, meditate, murmur, speak, sing, say, talk. You understand what God's saying? This is life. His word moving through me brings life through me. So books. Find your kids some good books. Now, listen, there are great bookstores. My goodness, there's great bookstores all over the country. But get your kids some great books to read. Find something on their reading level. Don't bury them. Don't give a five-year-old kid a 10th grade book. Don't try to stretch them beyond where they are. But get them interesting things to read. Biographies. There's incredible biographies in children in bookstores. You know, you go to the children's section, they got nice one-page biographies of scientists and historians and military leaders and politicians and religious leaders and great businessmen who have done incredible things. Men and women who have accomplished incredible things at against incredible odds. That builds things inside of, that builds image inside of our children. They can do things. That's what God meant in Psalm 78 when he said, I want you to teach your children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God. Teach them what? My ways, my wonders, my works, all the things that we've done. Teach them that they might have hope. When I read the stories of the Bible, I read that God works with sinners, murderers, liars, fornicators, thieves. He works with all these, and that puts hope in me. If God will redeem and forgive and work with these people, then he'll redeem, forgive, and work with me. And that puts hope back in me. Because the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. And that's what you learn in communication. When you talk, you don't have to know everything, but you need to know how to ask some questions. So books. Expose your kids to great books on a regular basis. Number two, music. Music's powerful, one of the most powerful things in the universe. Expose your kids to all kinds of music. You know, I've taken my kids to all kinds of concerts. We've been to classical, some hard Christian rock, some bluegrass, some country. We've been to gospel singing. We've been to all kinds of music. I love music. What you have to watch of music is the word. So teach your kids to appreciate all kinds of music. Don't have them curl their nose up at something. What is that? I don't like that station. Turn it off. I want my kids to be exposed to all kinds. And everybody's got their favorite. But music, because you go to another country, you visit another culture, their music's not the same music you're listening to. You need to know what it is going on. You need to expand your borders. Third thing is food. Now, why would food be important in communication? Well, it's critical in communication because remember what I said in the book of Acts, the church grows four ways, prayer, doctrine, breaking bread, and fellowship. You're going to eat with a lot of people in your lifetime. You're going to go to fellowship dinners. You're going to be invited to dinner at somebody's house, a business luncheon. You're going to go to a relative's house, your grandmother's, your aunt's, your long-lost cousin. You're going to eat some food that's probably not your favorite stuff to eat because everybody's got different tastes and likes and dislikes. And you're going to learn how to do stuff and enjoy it. Many times you go on the mission field, people prepare food. People don't realize, man, they'll take a month's wages and put it into one meal because they're so poor, because to them that's honor. Food is their life. It's like their money. It's their life, my time. I've invested this. And they're highly dishonored if you don't eat and partake of what they work so hard to prepare for you. And so you've got to learn to experience all kinds of things, a wide range. Most conversations that are important take place over a meal. It's always been that way. You can't shut down your opportunity to visit by curling up your nose at new food. You ever taken your children to a relative's house and they fix something, a casserole or something they've never seen? You ever had your children embarrass you at a nice dinner and they curl the lip up? What's that? I don't want to eat that. What is that? And you just want to take them out and just strangle. Oh my goodness, don't embarrass me. So I've told my children, they know now, you know, we've done this for years, especially traveling like we have sometimes. You walk into somebody else's house and you get a chance to eat something. If you've never seen this food before, you've never tasted, don't put a big helping on your plate. Because whatever hits your plate's going in your mouth. You're going to eat every bite. So don't overload because you're going to eat it. So maybe you want to try a little sample of everything. That kind of honors people. Now, I know we used to have what we call the potluck dinners at church, especially being involved on church staff with minister. You know, I try a little bit of everything. You know, certainly there are some things that weren't my favorite thing, some things I love. But, you know, just to honor everybody, we try just a little bit of everything. So food's real important. Rules of the word. Let's do this. This is rules about communication skills. The entire book of Proverbs is a course on communication, by the way. But here's just a few nuggets you need to understand. You need books, music, and food, because the people you're going to be communicating with are going to have read something you've probably not read, eat something you've not eaten, you know, experience something you've not experienced. You've got to begin to open up and be able to, as Paul said, be all things to all men that you thereby might win some. Rules of the word, James 1:19. These are just etiquette rules on speaking. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's a great rule to remember. You got two ears, one mouth. Do twice as much listening in the conversation as you do talking. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. You've got to learn to speak without getting too animated. I grew up in a very animated family. My mom, my wife did not. So it took time for our communication skills to kind of even out and get on the same level. Proverbs 27, verse 14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned to him as a curse. Don't be raising your voice at the wrong time. You know, part of communication is learning not just what to say, but how to say it. Proverbs 9:13, the woman of folly.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes three audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, two cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All three of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
You know, in Psalm 37:11, it says that the meek will inherit the earth. We got to look that word up. Meek doesn't mean weak. The word meek means teachable. Who's going to inherit the earth? People that are teachable. What do you mean teachable? You're learning new stuff. You're not staying the same. You're progressing. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The meek will inherit the earth. The teachable will. So in this series, 8 things no kids should leave home without, you know, this fifth thing that we put on the list we were teaching our kids was, you better stay hungry. You better stay teachable. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. You don't want to get arrogant. Well, I know something. You don't know anything because what you know is obsolete tomorrow. You got to stay humble. You got to stay teachable. Well, there are certain skills you're going to need to do that. We used to go back, I remember we'd teach our high school kids, we'd have an etiquette course. We're going to make you go to a 3-day etiquette course. You know how to stand, how to sit, how to introduce somebody. You sit at a table, which fork you pick up, which fork you don't pick up, which side you're served from when you introduce elder to the younger, younger to the elder. And we're going to teach you some conversation skills. You cannot learn things if you can't carry on a conversation. And here's the way you do that. We really boil it down to 3 things. You know, when you start a conversation, you got to know how to start a conversation, how to carry on a conversation, how to end a conversation. How do you start a conversation? You ask questions. I mean, I used to play the elevator game with my kids. We'd travel so much doing seminars. Get on the elevator, you know, we're on the 8th floor, we're going down to 1. There's 5 people on there, and I'd always start a conversation. Hey, how you guys doing? Doing good. You enjoying the hotel? Y'all like it pretty good. Hey, have you tried out the buffet downstairs? Then you got to check that out. It's really good. And they would just start talking to me. And by the time we're getting off, we're laughing and telling stories. I know where they're from, they're on business, vacation. And I said, man, let us know if you need anything. And his dad, I said, what? I'm just asking to see if they're liking it. They think you're in charge. I know, it's something, isn't it? It's because you talk to them. And here's what I learned about conversation. The more questions you ask, the more people will talk. People love to talk about themselves. If you want to learn something, keep your mouth shut and ask mostly questions. Don't take a whole session with somebody you just met to try to brag about who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Because by the time you finish talking, you've not learned a thing. And they've learned a lot. So you left empty, they left full. So to have a teachable spirit in a relationship, ask questions. People love to share about themselves, what they've been through. And I'm telling you, you'll get shocked most of the time what some horrible thing or tough thing somebody's come out with or what great thing somebody's just done. The Bible says in Revelation 4, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Ask people, hey, how you doing? You know, what do you do now? What do you do for a living? So you're married? I just ask questions. And you'll find out the more questions you ask, the more they love to talk, the more you'll bond with somebody. So I learned something. Teachable, staying hungry, staying humble, the meek and healthy earth, you're going to learn a lot more than you can imagine. So ask questions. Don't talk so much. It'll bless you real good.
Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.